bring ourselves back to that place where we need to be. Sometimes we get so busy with things we forget what we're really doing with the Lord. And we're going to be in the book of James here, just a few verses here today, chapter 1, and let me go ahead and pray, and then we're gonna dive into this. Father, Lord, we just ask for your continuation of your blessing today, of your attendance today by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that you would just give us understanding of your word today, and that we might receive it as we should, and that we might take it in as we should. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here in the book of James, James is talking a lot about trials and those kind of things. But I want to move to verse 5. And verse 5 says, "Now if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him." So I think sometimes when we go to praying, I think sometimes we, because it says here that if we lack wisdom, so wisdom really, wisdom is knowing what to do with what you have, with the right or the wrong way. Wisdom is the right way of doing things. It's beginning to making the right choices and the godly choices that God wants us to make. And so what we see here is that we see the next piece is, it says he should ask God. It says we should ask God for wisdom. We should ask God for wisdom because we all need wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom are similar, but they're really different. Knowledge is about knowing things, and wisdom is about knowing how to do with what you got, what you know. So here we find out that this big piece here on wisdom is that we need to ask God for wisdom. That if we lack wisdom, we should ask God for wisdom. But I think we struggle when we go to the Lord and pray, because if we're asking of God of something, then we're praying and we're talking to God. But I think we struggle with asking God for things sometimes. I think sometimes when we go to pray, we're praying because we're just praying because that's just what we do. We're praying because that's our routine. We do it. We say, I need to pray because it's the holy thing to do today. It's not wrong that we do these things in these ways, but we struggle with what we're praying and how we're praying and why we're praying. And I think sometimes that we don't pray specific enough. And sometimes even when our prayer we're praying, we struggle because we're doing it out of repetition. We're doing it, check the box. Yep, I prayed because we were eating and I just prayed over those things, and we do those things. And so I think we struggle. I think we struggle in our prayer life, and prayer can be tough at times. Well, I think we struggle with it. And so when the scripture says we need to ask God, I think the piece is we need to be more specific when we pray. And the whole thing of it is we need to make sure that we expect God to answer. And we're going to get to that, but we need to believe really that He is listening and knows. But He says He should ask God. We should ask God. We really should get to that place where we just ask God. We need to know how to do things and make the right choices. But here the scripture tells us that we lack wisdom, we should ask God. And we should ask God. He says, who gives to all generously? God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to give you wisdom, but you got to ask for it. God wants to give you wisdom so you know how to make the right choices. Listen, when you make bad choices, is that God's fault? No. We make bad choices. We can make bad choices all the time. If you're in a situation that God didn't put you there, we made bad choices. And bad choices of just bad. We didn't use godly wisdom when we were doing that. But He says we should ask God, but He gives. God loves to give it. God loves to give. God loves to give. And He does it ungrudgingly, which means He shows no favoritism. He loves to give. You ask, Scripture says you shall receive. You seek, you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. So much of that. But here He's just telling us that we need to understand this piece, that God wants to give. And He gives it ungrudgingly. He gives it ungrudgingly. And He says, and it will be given to him. So the writer says, if you ask, it will be given to you. God will do His part. We just have to do our part. What is our part? Well, that's the next part. That is the next part. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith without doubting. Let him ask in faith without doubting. Now we know we all have some doubts. We all have some thoughts. The battleground really is in our brain most of the time. The spiritual things are in our mind. But we need to ask in faith without doubting. We need to ask in faith without doubting. Some of the things that we had prayed for over this year, in January, I don't want to miss any, that's why I wrote them down. One of those things that we prayed for this year, that God, in January, we prayed, we fasted on, I think, a Sunday night from 6 p.m. to Monday night 6 p.m., and we prayed during that time for these things, and we also prayed all the way through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Thursday at 6 p.m. we started fasting again, and then on Friday p.m. at 6 p.m. we completed. So we had a full week of prayer, and we started with fasting, and we ended with fasting. And we had 8 things that was on the list. 6 were for the church, and 2 were for the ministries. So the first one that we had was, we pay off to $20,000 a loan for the bricks and the gutter work that we had, because the gutter work was just phenomenal, expensive. But we worked on the outside of the church building, and so we were doing the bricks, the gutters, we got the chimney off the roof, and we did those things. And so basically, that loan was paid off. So we paid that loan off in February. So when we paid that loan off in February, that was something, that was one of the things there that we were praying for, that God would do that. And he did that. And how do we know he did it? Because we were specific. We weren't just saying, Lord, just be with us. Lord, bless us. Help us do the right things. That's not bad ways of praying, but we need to add into there the specific things. So we ask God to pray, to have us be able to pay off the $20,000 loan. It is paid off. And then we had to get another loan, and we're working on bringing that one down as well to complete that up there and finish the paying that off. And then the second thing that we had on there is a praise band. We are working on that. That's been on the list for 2 years, I believe. We are not painting God into a corner saying, oh Lord, if we pray on January, you need to complete it on December. I think that's where some of us have fallen into, where we think that we're painting God into a corner. We're not doing that. But we know that we need to do that. We need to work on that. We need to work on that praise band. I know they're working on some things. So we see work being done with that. Before we started, we didn't have anything going on in that. So God is moving in that direction as well. And the third thing for the church we were praying for is this new song with Phil and Ashley moving on to Fort Wayne, doing church plant there. That is, Phil's done a lot of his stuff, and then both of them got their assessment. They were approved. He's doing his residency thing. Everything is going forward. Everything is going forward with that. And then we come to the place where we put some numbers down, and we use some numbers here as well. And the fourth thing was that God will give us 20 baptisms this year. And right now we are at 19. And we're just now finishing up August. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't help but I'm pretty excited about what God is doing. I really am excited about what God is doing. And the more you stick around, the more you hear all the things that God is doing. Not just the things that we're mentioning today, but God is doing some amazing things. And so here we see that God is doing some things here. You can't make baptisms happen. And so baptisms are happening here. So 19 baptisms. We know that 3 years ago we asked God to give us 25 baptisms in 2 years. On the week before the 2 years were over, was over, on the Sunday, we had our 25th baptism. So we did 25 baptisms in 2 years. And now we went forward and even more, and just said, hey, we're not testing God. We're just, that's what we wanted to pray for and fast for. And I think what God is showing us is saying, hey, you don't ask enough. You don't ask me enough. You don't ask big enough. And Carla tells me that we don't ask big enough. We got to quit thinking with our measly little minds that this is, well, we're fortunate if God just gives us a loaf of bread, or he just gives us one of these little buildings. Listen, God is a big God. Can I remind you what he did in Genesis? He created everything. God created everything. You know what he did in Exodus? He's a bondage breaker. He's a slave breaker. Those who are in sin, he's a slave breaker. You know what he did in Deuteronomy? He's a law builder. In Leviticus, he's a law builder. He tells people how to live. That's what he does. You know what he did in Joshua? He tore down the walls because he was rebuilding something fresh and new. That's what he does. That's what he does. That's exactly what he does. The book of Judges, you know what he does? He says, Gideon, you got too many people. Or you'd be bragging on yourself. I think you can take them with 300. You don't need 10,000. You don't need 100,000. 10,000, you still have too many people. We'll do it with 300. Why? Because God is that big. Let's quit thinking God is small. We put him in a little bottle and we rub that bottle when we need him to jump out and to fix us and to fix a problem. God is amazing. He is here. He is amazing. He can do all things. It's just we're just not asking him big enough. We're not asking him enough. But 20 baptisms for this year. Listen, New Life has never done that before. We had 1 year in our second year of existence where we had a revival and we baptized 15 people on one Sunday. But here we are, 20 years later, and we're praying that God would give us 20 baptisms. Would it bother you? I'm not saying this is where we're going, but would it bother you if we asked God to give us 50 baptisms next year? How many of y'all would believe that? How many of y'all would believe that? God can build. God is a great builder. He is a great builder. But he has given us 20 baptisms, 19 baptisms, and we're asking for 20. There's one more would fulfill this, and we'll see where he takes this whole thing. But we also ask, number five, for the churches, that the church would physically grow. That the church would physically grow. For six years, we stayed in the 60s. When we moved from the old building to over here, that's the only time we went down. Every time we moved, we had like five moves. And every time we moved, but we moved from that building to this building, we went down. We had a hard time moving forward. A lot of that was spiritual warfare. A lot of that is stuff I don't want to get into, but it's not that people did anything wrong. It's a lot of darkness in the community. We were working through that, battling through that. But here we find out now that for 6 years, we stayed in the 60s. Like 1 year was 59 point something. We were 6 years in the 60s. And we started praying and fasting. And we began to pray and fast. But let me tell you what we did that very first time. Some of you know where I'm going. But the first time we came into pray and fast for this, you know what we said? God, don't give us a visitor for 6 months. Because we a hot mess. We miss. And God didn't give us. You know what? We asked and we shall receive. And he did not give us a visitor for 6 months. And I have not found a pastor that said, hey, that was a good move. Now, I have not had one pastor that said that was a good move. But you know what? It was the best move. Because we admitted that we needed to work on some things. We admitted that we needed to reestablish some things, get ourselves grounded. And that year we began to pray, and we prayed for some more things. And the following year we asked God to give us some more people. And our average was 64. And then we moved the very next year to an average of 86. Were you inviting people? Let me ask you, were you inviting people? Were you bringing people? Probably not, because there's so many new faces in here. I can go up to somebody new and I can say, did anybody invite you here? And most of you that I know of have said, nope, unless you're family. And then the very next year, we put it back on the list. Lord, help us grow physically, because it's not about us just growing physically, to say we're growing physically, but we want to make an impact into the community. We want to be a lighthouse into the community, a spiritual lighthouse in the community. So we did that, and the very next year we went from what? 84 to, or 86, we were 86 to 94. That's an increase. That's 94. It's an increase. You know what I think God is saying? I move when you let me. And last year, we went through it, and we had it also on the list, and so last year's average, this year's average We put it on this list here for this year that the church will physically grow, and our average right now is 111. Hello? Are we here today? There's a part there in Scripture, I don't want to get off on that, but there's a part in Scripture, if we don't praise the Lord, the Bible does say that the rocks will cry out. And it means God is so amazing. If you people want to not say a thing, Jesus will make, He will get His praise from even dead rocks. He will get His praise. So I'm telling you, God is working here. We need to wake up. We need to get excited about what God is doing, because there's more that's coming over the horizon, but we got to be able to not boast upon ourselves. Don't boast on me. Don't boast on you. We don't need to boast on how awesome we are. We need to boast on how awesome that God is. We need to keep Him in the forefront. We also, number six, we are planning this year and preparing for the worship center restorations. We've already kind of done that, part of that. But you see the pews you're on, some of those are going to be changing here. And there's a whole project with that. That's happening. Every one of these for the church, it's moving forward. Every single one of these is moving forward. What if we didn't pray? What if we didn't fast? We would not even be seeing some of this stuff. It'd be just, that's business. No, it is people taking the time to put it as an important piece. When you fast and you pray and you're putting things of God in the front of other things of your own life. Listen, you have the next day. If God gives you, you're going to have some time on yours. You get your free time. You got your free time. You got a lot of free time. Come on, you got a lot of free time. You watch more than three shows a week. You got a lot of free time. You just do. You ain't going to miss that football game. Ain't going to miss that NASCAR race. Ain't going to miss that basketball game. But my goodness, I don't know if I can fast for 24 hours. I'm just telling you, if I don't get a little hard at times, we ain't going to grow sometimes. And we got to grow. We got to get tough. We got to put on some rhino skin and say, listen, I'm in this. I'm living in this world, and I'm playing. I got to play my part. I got to do my part. And if my part is getting on my knees before God in my closet, or sitting in my car, pulling over the parking lot and saying, listen, I know where I'm going, but I got 10 minutes. I'm going to give it to the Lord right here in this parking lot. Lord, this is where we are as a church. This is what's going on. We're asking you to step in. We're asking you to do these things. These are things that we cannot do on our own. These are things that only the Lord can do. We had two other things for the ministries. Sometimes one gets more than the other. This time it was really leaned in on the church. But we did have two things for the ministries. One of those is to secure the finances, working on those for phase two over here at the old church building. We're working on that. We are working on that. Phase one is done with the roof and some other things. We had some mishaps this year with it, not because of us, but because some of the things that happened with some of these workers. But anyway, we're moving forward. That's going to be the Life Center. That's going to be Christian counseling. That's going to be Christian coaching. That's going to be some mini smaller concerts and more of a venue where some of the classes are going to be for the Life Houses, those kind of things, and so we can get some more things moved and open up the church for other things. So we want to get that building up and going. And so we're praying, and we need to pray that God will give us the finances for that. And then we can begin the phase two, which is the HVAC. We're kind of stopped right now until we get the HVAC system in. And it is a big ticket item. But I'm just reminded that, listen, God does not have a balance. He does not have a net worth. He owns it all. Okay? God has it all. If you don't know that, go back to the book of Exodus and you'll read that when all the people that God drew out, Moses let all the Hebrews out, He didn't leave them empty-handed. He had the Egyptians give everything they had to them. God can take the sinner's money and give it to the believer's purposes. See, all the way back to the beginning of Exodus, and we see that. So let's not think that God can't do that. And our second piece is that that God will give us $700,000. Yeah, it sounds like a lot, but again, it's not a lot. We need $700,000 for the ministries, because we have a lot of things that we need to get accomplished. And again, these buildings are all 100 years old. We got to continue to keep working on our buildings. So what do we see here? In the book of James, he says this, but if let him ask in faith without doubting. We do not need to doubt when we're asking, but ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And verse 7 says that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Wow. If we doubt, we should not expect to receive anything. Why is that? Well, let's let the Bible tell us again. What's it say? It says this, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. And sometimes it'll use another verse, it'll say indecisiveness, being indecisive. And so this indecisiveness is a weakness in faith. It means you don't know how to make a decision. You never want to make a decision. You're always in the middle. Doesn't mean you're not thinking things through. It doesn't mean that you're not processing things. But it just means you're always in the middle. You're always hesitant to make a decision. You're spiritually unstable in those things. But God wants us to be strong when we're praying. God wants us to be strong when we're doing that. So faith is in action is what it is. Faith is in action. And we need not to be indecisive. The Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Elijah the prophet was standing on Mount Carmel. Some of you may know the story. 400 prophets of Baal. And they're standing there and they're having this kind of high noon showdown here. Who can bring forth fire? Who can bring forth all this stuff? And Moses is getting a little... Elijah is getting a little bit... upset, a little bit concerned. Let me read something out of 1 Kings 18. It says, Elijah went before the people. He's before the people. You got all these prophets, and you got all the people of Israel. They're all trying to figure out who do we serve. It says, Elijah went before the people. How long will you waver between two opinions? How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. The scripture says, but the people said nothing. Another version said, the people didn't even make a move. Wow. If you're a believer, act like a believer. If you're a believer, vote like a believer. If you're a believer, be a believer. Quit wavering. If you think God can do amazing things, well, prove it by asking him to do amazing things. Prove it by prove it by asking him to be the God that you say that he is, the God that he is. It says our faith produces confidence in God. When you begin to pray for these things and you start seeing God do things, not just at the church, but in your own life, you can sit there now and have testimony where you can share about what God has done in your life. 1 John says this, John is writing in 1 John chapter 5, it's in verses 14, 15. He says, now this is confidence that we have before him. John is saying we can have confidence when we stand before the Lord. We need to have confidence. That's what he says. Now this is the confidence we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked him for. So basically, if we have confidence in God, we know that when we ask him, he hears us. And we have confidence before God, whatever we ask, we know that God's going to handle that. If it's in his will, he'll give it to you. Sometimes God is he loves to give. And so when we ask, we can sit there and say, Lord, I need help with this. Lord, I need you to move. I'm asking you to move on this. I'm asking you to move on this. And I know something, I think we struggle with that. I think we struggle with that. I want to share with you that it's going to be in October sometime. We're going to have a lament week. So I'm going to ask you to, I want you to bring whatever the most painful thing or whatever the thing is you feel that God, that's something you want to lay before God. That is just bothering you. It's been part of your life. You can't handle it. You need help dealing with it. You need God to make a move. It's that thing that breaks your heart. It's that thing that you're praying for constantly. Listen, we don't put enough work in our prayer. And we're going to give an opportunity for us to have that lament week that we can bring that in there. Listen, if you got a child that's unsaved and you know that salvation, the way they're living, let me tell you, you put things at the altar, God hears. We're going to wrestle through that. It's going to be a Jacob and wrestling. We're going to wrestle through that. Listen, there comes responsibilities. If you want to see God move, you got to do your part. And do your part is exercise that faith. Do your part is be involved in times of prayer and times of fasting. You want to do your part, you got to ask God to give you an increase in wisdom, increase in faith. Some of you may need to ask God for an increase in something else like discernment. But we need those things. We struggle with those things. How do we know if God's answering our prayers if we're not being specific? We don't. But we believe. If I was to ask you, most of us are like this. We don't really think that God's going to answer prayers. So we kind of make them vague. Lord, be with me this week. Well, Scripture says that He never leaves us or forsakes us. So that's already a give me there. That's a promise. So we don't ask God to be with us. Now, if we're getting ready to do something big, Lord, be with me. Give me the words to speak today. Lord, give me the word. Lord, let me get discernment to know what's right or wrong, what's in this whole family situation. But here it is. We're not seeing answered prayer. We can't claim it's answered prayer because we didn't get specific enough. But when you get specific and you pray and God answers it and you can't help but now to testify and say that God answered the prayer. Folks, we got to remember who saved us. We can't forget. We can't forget who our salvation is in. We can't forget these things. We cannot forget these things at all. Prayer is a necessity for every believer. If somebody comes up to me and says, I think I'm a pretty weak Christian, and we talk a little bit, first thing that's going to come out in my mind is thinking, one, is this person doesn't pray. Not much. This person runs to God when they're in trouble, which I think we're supposed to run to God when things happen, but we find out who we really are. Let me tell you, if your prayer life is weak, your spiritual life is weak. So give me. If your prayer life is weak, you don't have too many testimonies to share. If your prayer life is weak, usually you're not sharing the gospel with anybody. If your prayer life is weak, you're usually not even talking about Jesus throughout the week. If your prayer life is weak, it just makes you weak all the way around. How do you get it back? How do you get it? How do you get it back? Well, what did he say? If anybody lacks, you should ask God, who gives generously, and it will be given to him. If you lack, ask, God, give me a hunger for your word. Lord, give me a hunger to pray. Give me, revive my heart. Revive the joy of my salvation. Revive my hunger for you. I'm going to tell you something. New Life is an amazing church, but New Life struggles. Today I'm struggling preaching because you're struggling listening. You're not struggling listening physically. You're struggling listening spiritually. This may sound hard, but I'm just saying. And so this should have been a very powerful message to the piece where we should have been excited. We should have been saying, man, my God is amazing. I don't care if somebody jumps up and says, man, God is so awesome in my life. Let me tell you what he did. And I was shut down praying, preaching, and I'm going to listen to that testimony as long as it's glorifying the Lord. Once it stops glorifying the Lord, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to take over. But if that person is glorifying the Lord, I'm going to let it roll. But if somebody else is saying, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me and my wife, and my husband, my family, my kids, my business, whatever it may be. Let me tell you, folks, there's a lot of pain and suffering in this church. You carry it in, and that's okay. There's a lot of pain and suffering because we bring pain and suffering in our lives, and we want to deal with it. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of lonely people in this church. There's a lot of hurting people in this church. There's a lot of people carrying a lot of pain and suffering from your families, your own personal life, your own personal sin, all those things. It's a lot of weight to bring in. It just tells me that we're struggling. We're still struggling with the things of this world. And I don't think we're going to get rid of all of that, but we're not letting God be God. We're struggling with things that we should be taking care of, and we keep one. We think that we can control it. Listen, you can't control your sin. Sin controls you. You can't control sin. It will take you down. And every week you bring it in, but we don't deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, it'll deal with you. By trashing your life. Destroying your life. And I'm up here trying to preach what God has done. And if you ain't not right with the Lord today, you need to get it right. I'm going to tell you right now, this is the stopping point right here. We won't grow any further until this group grows. Man, this is not what I intended to preach. But we got to grow up in Jesus. Be the walking Christians that God called us to be. Be faithful. Be committed. Love the Lord, even on the good days and even on the bad days. Praise His name. That should come very simple, but it doesn't, because we struggle with what's in our lives. Let me tell you, give it to God. He says He'll take care of it. We're not trusting Him. All the stuff that He's been doing for us has been all on grace. It's been all on His grace because He loves people. He loves broken people. But He does, I always say this all the time, He loves you right where you are, but He loves you enough not to leave you there. He will pick you up if you let Him put His arms around you. He will guide you. He will put you where you can't put yourself. It's always closer to Him. The only thing that beats new life down is ourselves. And some help by the darkness, of course. But I'm telling you, there's no bigger cheerleader for this group than God Himself. He knows what we're capable of. Satan knows what we're capable of. There's a lot of spiritual warfare here, but let me tell you, spiritual warfare should not defeat God's people. It's just hindrances. It's small battles. I'm asking you a question. Is God in your life, or are you being trying to be do whatever you want to do? It's time to let God be God in your life. Lord, let us get a little Pentecostal in here for some reason, something. I know I'm not the most flamboyant. I don't think you have to be that way, but my goodness. Well, I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. Just let Him do His thing. So let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. We will be taking communion. The Bible does say that before you take communion, you ought to examine.